Okay, so I want to just go over one or two things about how things that we mentioned and just to clarify, and we spoke about a little bit yesterday. So what we mentioned in the end of chapter 19 to chapter 20 was the concept how Reb Chaim said that the Sulam is Mutzav Arza. The Sulam Mutzav Arza is referring to the Neshama of the Yid, comes from Shemaim and it goes all the way to the ground. Beresh Magia Shemaima and Malachei Elokim is Oilim B'Yardimba, which we said goes up and down. It really should have said go down and go up. And we said that no, what happens is the Hashpah starts here, the Hashpah starting down here, then bounces up, goes all the way down up so that it can now come back down according to our deeds into this world. And now, that's why the Malachei Elokim go up and down according to our Meisim, and we're there for the Sulam is like our Neshama, and the Malachim go up and down based on our Meisim. We also said that he explains here the tshuva process. And at the end, he says, there's a way, part of the process, after that, he says, he brings a Gemara, it says, Kol ha'ayna amen yehesh mei rabah mevorach. Anyone says amen yehesh mei rabah with all of his koach, kairim lo gzar dinoi. We rip up his gzar din. So it sounds like, somehow, the saying amen yehesh mei rabah accomplishes a tshuva process. So what's so great about amen yehesh mei rabah? So essentially, what he's going to say is, and I'm going to show, it's going to be very interesting, it's two pshatim and taisus really, is that what Amen Yesh Merab is saying is that anything that I caused, the gravity of sin, besides that you went against Hashem's word, is also that you caused a real world pgam, a real world destruction in this world, based on the fact that you now, you know, were poigim in certain areas. So now you're not going to be able to boomerang back that hashpa from Shemayim into this world. And essentially when the hashpa of Hashem cannot come into this world, you're essentially removing the hashgacha of Hashem from the planet to a certain degree. That's what we said when Klal Yisrael sins, there's no Shechina down here anymore because the Shechina is the lowest level of the how Ratzon Hashem is manifest in the world. And by us doing averus with our lowest level of neshama, that's also going to impact how the lowest level of Shechina can be apparent in this world. So what is the main Yesh Mirab doing? He's saying, no, you're asking Hashem a tefillah. Hashem, please restore all of that that I did to your name, all that I did to the reality that Hashem should be in this world. Please, Hashem, restore that. Now, what's interesting is that there's two ways to explain the tefillah of Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach La'olam Olam Elmaya. So let me first translate it from Aramaic, and then we'll go into the two explanations because it's really a little bit of a deeper step into the Nefesh HaChaim's explanation. We say Yehei Shmei Rabba. Yehei Shmei means the name of Hashem should be Yehei Shmei, the name of Hashem. Rabba. Now, it should become great. La'olam, forever, ulal me'almaya, and for all the worlds, okay? It should be, that's one way to say. So according to that, Rabba is not the description of Hashem's name, but rather it's part of the prayer. So you're saying, Yehei Shmei, the name of Hashem should be what? Rabba, la'olam, Rabba mevarach, la'olam me'almaya. It should become great, and it should become great and blessed in the worlds. That's one interpretation. The other interpretation is like this, Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba. The great name of Hashem should be Mevarach La'olam Olam Elmaya. So the Rabbah is not part of the request, it's not part of the Bakasha, but rather the Rabbah is a description of the name of Hashem. So the first way to say it is the name of Hashem should become great, Rabbah should become great and blessed, or is it the great name of Hashem should become blessed in all the worlds? Okay, so there's two different ways to say what this tefillah means. This is the Tosfos and Brachos discusses this. But the truth is that in our context, they both mean the same thing. Because we mentioned, and I'm throwing in a lot of concepts here, if I'm going too quick, tell me, because I'm throwing in a lot of concepts that maybe I think we already discussed. According to the one interpretation, what it's saying is the great name of Hashem, Yesh Me Rabba, the great name of Hashem should become present in the world. We explained that really the four worlds, right? The four worlds of, you know, obviously there's the Ein Sof, there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Ein Sof, and from there comes the Hashpa of Hashem and how it trickles down into the world. So it starts off in the world of Atzilus, which is basically the first, you know, manifestation of the Ratzon Hashem, but it's still beyond anything we can ever understand. Then there's the world of Bria, Yetzira, Asiya, four worlds. Asiya is action. And those correspond to, you know, the Shurash and the Neshama, the Ruach and the Nefesh, okay? So, and we said that those four worlds and how Hashem manifests himself in the four worlds correspond to the four letters of Hashem. Yud-Kei is the first two worlds, and Vav-Kei, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is the four letters of Hashem, correspond to the Yud and the He, correspond to the highest two levels of the worlds, and the Vav and He correspond to the lowest two levels of the world. And we said that what happens is that when a Malik comes, Ki Yad Al-Kes Ka, they cut off the Ka, the Yud and the He, from the Vav and the He. So what happens is that the Yud and the He are not present in our world because a Malik doesn't allow it. The Yud and the He is up there and the Vav and the He is totally disconnected. And we basically disconnect this world. When a Malik is present, they disconnect this world from the upper worlds. So the Vav and the He is no longer present and it's just the Yud and the He which is in the upper worlds. So that's the process, how a Malik comes and basically says, Hashem's not here, Hashem's up there maybe, but he's not down here. And the Vav and the He is where Hashem's present down here. So according to that, okay, according to that, what we're saying is, Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba. We want the great name of Hashem to be Mevarach L'Olam O'Mel Maya. We want the full four letters name of Hashem, the full four letter name of Hashem. The full four letter name of Hashem should be present in the world. The Yud Kei and the Vav Kei. Not just, right, and really what it's saying is Yehei Shmei, Shmei is Shin Mem Yud Hei, right? So Tosa says it really means Yehei Shem Yud Hei, Rabba should become great. The Yud and the Hei should become great and become the Vav and the Hei, La'olam Olamei Nai. So the idea is basically one and the same, that we're trying to say that we want the name of, so according to that, the way you read it is Yehei Shem Yud Hei. The name of Yud and Hey should become Rabba, should become great, and should become attached to the Vav and the Hey, and should be continued to be present in the world. Or Yehei Shmei Rabba, the great name of Hashem, which is the four-letter name of Hashem, should be Mevarach La'olam Olamel Maya. But either way, the point is that we're trying to expand how the Hashgacha Pratis shouldn't stay up there, but should become present in this world. We just said a lot, okay? We just said a tremendous amount of information, but that's we just threw that out there because that was a little bit of chazar and putting together a few things. Now, what?
The L'shem Yichud Kushabri.
Yeah. This is the bridge into that. Okay. So Adam wanted to go over the Shem Yuchud, but I couldn't just go over without adding something new. So we have to add this point because we never explained the second sentence of the L'shem Yuchud. Okay. So the way the L'shem Yichud goes, okay, is like this. Okay, the L'shem Yichud that we say, if someone has a sitter with L'shem Yichud and they can put it on the screen, would be Yishmak. The siddurim that I have on the siddurim that I have on the computer that I could share the screen don't have the L'shem Yichud. So I can't share the screen, but the L'shem Yichud goes like this. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Bricho Ushchintei. Oh, there you go. Okay. So I'm gonna put it on speaker. I'm gonna pin Adam's screen. How about that? There you go. Okay. So I don't know if you guys see my screen, but I could I don't know what I just did. Let me stop that because it didn't work. Okay. Regardless, like this. So it says like this: L'shem Yichud Kudsha Brichu Ushchintei. So when we say that, what we're saying is we want to be miyached. We want to connect the Shem Kudsha Brichu with Shchintei. And we said this is very risky business because the Nidv Yudah says, and the Vilna Goin said that if you say this incorrectly, you could end up saying apikarsis, right? So, but what it means is that there's Shchinte, as we always say in the Chumash, right? We always talk about in the Chumash, L'shem Yuchud Kutshabrichu, we always talk about that the Shechina is the way Hashem is present in this world. Yeah? Shechina is the way Hashem is present in this world. But the Kutshabrichu is what Hashem wants from this world. It's in the world, it's in the higher worlds, it's in the world of Ruach. Okay? It's in the Ratzon of what Hashem wants. The question is what Hashem wants in the world, is that actually present in the world? Are we adding by our mitzvahs, are we bringing the Ratzon Hashem to fruition that it's manifest in the world's world, that when people see us, they see the Shechina, they see Asheras HaShechina in the world, they see the presence of God in the world. Are we adding to that? Or are we separating it like a Molech? Are we saying, no, Hashem is up there, His Ratzon is up there, but what exists in this world is free of Hashem. A Molech frees the world from the last parts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. What we're doing with our mitzvahs is to be miyachid, the Ratzon Hashem, with the presence of Hashem in the world. We're saying it's one and the same. The Ratzon of Hashem, which is Kutcha Brichu, Kadosh means it's always separate, right? Kedusha is something separate. The Kutcha Brichu is not in this world, really. It's the Ratzon Hashem, which exists in Hashem's realm. But as that cascades into this world, as that trickles down, the Ratzon Hashem in this world, we want it to be manifest in the form of the Shechina in the world. So is the Shechina is more present as much as the Ratzon Hashem is being fulfilled. So what we're doing is basically by doing a mitzvah is we're being miyached, we're connecting, we're making one, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the real Ratzon Hashem, with the Shechina, with the presence of Hashem in the world. So we're uniting.
The Shechina is Hashem's manifestation in this world?
Right. It's correct.
It's the Ratzon brought down.
Yes, it's the way and that's why we always say, you chase away the Shechina when you do Averis, because that means that Hashem's presence is not manifest in the world as much. It's void. Because Baruch Hu's world is void of Shechina. Means to say, obviously Hashem is here. So these concepts are a little bit difficult. It's here, but it's not visually present. We don't sense it as much. So it means the Shechina is not here. But when we do mitzvahs, we're being miyachid, we're uniting the Ratzon of Hashem with the manifestation of how it should be in the world. So we're miyachid, Kutcha Brichu Shechinta. Now I wanted to add, then it says, B'dechilu urechimu, which means, with fear, liyachid shame, the yud hey, with the vav and the hey, b'yichud ha-shleim. Right? That's the next, liyach to shem, yud with hey, the vav hey. Right? So what does that mean? Okay, yeah, we got it. So what that means is, what that means now is take the what we started with the main Yesh Mirabah. That means when there's a separation between Kutcha Brichu and Shechinte, there's a separation between the Yud and the Hay and the Vav and the Hay. Right? The Yud and the Hay exists in one realm. Those are the upper two worlds, where it's Atzilus and Bria, just the Ratzon of Hashem to create the world. But Yetzira and Atzia and how the world is actually manifest, that's the Vav and the Hay. And when people aren't doing mitzvahs, the Yud and the Hay is always there. Even with a Molech, the Yud and the Hay is there. Because that's Hashem in those worlds that don't exist, don't touch on this world, right? But once it comes to start touching in this world, that's the Yud and the Hay, right? The second Yud Hay. The vav and the k is
the Shechina basically.
Basically, right.
Parallel to the Shechina.
Parallel to the lower worlds of how it develops in this world. So
the yud k is always right.
And that's why the yud k is disconnected from the vav k when a Molech is in the picture. That's why it says ki yad al kes ka milchama l'Hashem v'amolek midar dar, and it says ein Hashem shalem. When a Molech is around. So that's the main Yehei Shmei Rabbah. The Shem Yud Kei should become great to include incorporate the Vav and the Hei, because we want that the Shem of Hashem should be ever present and complete in the world. The way it's complete is when it's manifest in the world. When people walk around saying, oh, the Ratzon of Hashem is being completed. There's Shechina here. People sense Hashem. That's the complete name of Hashem. Again, a Molech's in the picture. He cuts it in half. The Yud Kei is up in Shemayim somewhere, but the Vav Kei does not exist here. The main Yehei Shmei Rabba means we want the name of the Shem of the Yud Kei to be completed with the Vav Kei. And the Shem Yuchad Kutcha Brichu Ushchinte is also coming to connect, just like it's coming to connect the Kutcha Brichu Ushchinte, it's coming to connect the B'Tchilu Rochimu Liyachid Shem Yud Kei B'Vav Kei. To connect the Vav Kei with the Yud Kei, again, same point. To connect and say that the name of Hashem should become great. In the world. Now,
What's the risk of apikorsis? You said some people might take it the wrong way. What is the
risk of apikorsis is because you're starting to divide things up. You're starting to say Hashem exists here, and there's multiple Hashems, it's Shkinte, there's Kutcher Brichu. There's, once you start, hold on, other religions also believe in trilogies and stuff like that. What are we saying? There are multiple manifestations of Hashem and Chas Hashem. What are we saying? A person can get carried away and start saying there's this and that, and we're bringing them together. And, you know, obviously it's very risky because when I'm being miyached two things that aren't one, I thought Hashem was one anyway. What do you mean miyached? Hashem, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elkein, Hashem Echad. Hashem is one. He's not one because you did a mitzvah. He's one because he's one. So I'm going to say I'm being miyached and I'm uniting them. They weren't united without me. So now a person starts thinking, oh, there's two forces. There's Kutcher Brichu. Which one is better for me? I'm going to go Shchinta. You go Kutcher Brichu. We have teams over here. Well, like it's a risky thing. So obviously the way we're explaining it, the idea is how much the Ratzon Hashem is manifest in the world. It's not two kochos. It's just it's a further giluy of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and therefore you meet your the giluy of Hashem is more present. So it's how the Kutcher Baruch Hu exists in one realm is the Ratzon of Hashem, and the Shchinte is how it manifests in this world. So it's just continued giluy of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But if you don't explain it properly, it's a little bit risky. Okay, the Vilna Gaon also said, what's the point of saying it? You're doing it, it happens. There's no gain to be had by saying it. That's the Vilna Gaon held. The Gaon held, when you do a mitzvah, it is miyached kutcher brichu shchinte. So it does it. So what do you have to say? I'm doing it in order to be miyached. You're doing it because Hashem told you to do it. Don't be an ibrach. Don't figure out why. You don't have to know all of this in order to do a mitzvah. Not only don't you have to know all this to do the mitzvah, even if you never heard of this before in your life and you did mitzvahs your whole life, you're also being miyached kutcher brichu mishchinte, right? So therefore, what's the point of saying it? There's no benefit to be had by saying it. That was a really good.
What is the point of saying it? It seems like it's preparation for the prayer.
So the Neid de Buda says maybe it's preparation. The Neid de Buda says maybe it's preparation to get your mindset. So the Neid de Buda says, yeah, it's preparation. Guess what? Chazal also knew you're supposed to prepare. And Chazal said, say a bracha. The bracha is enough preparation. Before you do tzitzis, say a bracha and you're prepared. What do you have to say this whole tefillah? So therefore, this is obviously the anti-Mikubalim, you know, approach. And the Sfaradim that go more up in the Derech of the Kabbalah. And I'm not saying which is right, obviously. I'm just saying that there are multiple approaches, and whether it's a good idea or not a good idea, or not necessary or appropriate to say it, but that's what it means, okay? So if you are saying it, it's taka better to know what you're saying, that's for sure. Okay. Now there's just while we're at it, in the Lashem Yichud Kudsho Brichu of the mitzvah of tzitzis, there's a famous line.
I think it's because you're about to do a mitzvah. When you're about to do a mitzvah, so you're about to make Hashem's will down here with His will up there.
Yes, that's exactly the point. But you don't have to say that I'm doing this in order to be miyachid kutcher brichu mishchinte, because guess what? Even if you're not doing it in order to do that, you're doing it. It's happening, right?
Well, the Ratzon Hashem is done with machshava. It's okay. It's a level. You could do it physically.
Correct.
You don't know what you're doing.
Correct.
Or you're doing it with your brain. Already a higher level, right?
So there's some risks, and there's also the idea that you may not necessarily, maybe this shouldn't be your intention. Maybe your intention is primarily to do the Ratzon Hashem because Hashem told me to. Whether that connects His Ratzon, Shchinte, all these things can get people to think that it's only valuable, the mitzvah, if you're doing it with all this in mind. And that's not necessarily the case. There's a value to the mitzvah regardless. Anyway, this is an old machloket. I'm not going to, you know, there's two sides to the coin. You know, it's printed in plenty sidur. So I'm not, you know, even the Sechashkenaz. So now in the Lashem Yuchad, I'm going a little over time, just 2-3 minutes, because there's no shir tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow I'm going to be traveling. So there's no.
Can we come with you?
What? I'm not going for.
Can we come? Where are you going?
Nothing exciting, unfortunately. So my mother, who's usually on the shir, she's sitting shiva for her sister, for my aunt. So I'm going to visit her. So anyway, we'll dedicate the shiur the rest of the week.
Condolences.
My mother actually wanted me to let people know that she's not here. That's why she's usually on the shiur. So, in the L'shem Yuchel Kutcher Brichu of Tzitzis, there's a very interesting line there. It's a little bit of a well-known line because Shlomo Karvach made a song about it. If anyone, you ever heard the song, Tinat El Nafshi, ni-ni-ni-na, I don't know if you ever heard that song, but anyway, anyone knows Shlomo Karvach is a famous song. So the words in that L'shem Yuchel are, Tinat El Nafshi, that by doing this mitzvah, you should, Aidei Mitzvah Tzitzis, and this is not familiar to anyone that says this prayer, Tinotzel Nafshi, Veruchi Unishmasi, Utfilasi Min Hachitzoinim. That by doing so, I'm saving these elements. But it's interesting, that's what we've been talking about. It saves my nefesh, my ruach, and my neshama. The three elements that exist, the purpose of the mitzvah of tzitzis is to wrap yourself up and protect yourself in all three levels of nefesh, ruach, and neshama. That's what the prayer is saying, interestingly. So, you know, so anyway, that's the concept, and that pretty much wraps up. And I'm going to say one more thing. Let's see, is it 8:52. I want to say one more idea because I'm having a share tomorrow, and that will wrap up chapter 20. Okay, the last idea, the fascinating idea, he says like this. He says that. It's not in chapter 20. Yeah, it is. So chapter 20 says like this. It says, the shore of Adam HaRishon, the ox of Adam HaRishon, the very last paragraph of 20, it was Karnoisav Koidim LeParsoisav Hayu. What it means literally is its horns grew before its feet, before it had feet. And it came out with horns. Literally what the Gemara is saying is that it was born when it came out of the womb of the mother. I mean, there was no mother, but when it was created from the head with horns, and only afterwards were the feet created. That's what the Gemara says. So what in the world does that mean? Right? What does that mean? So he says what it means is that everything that Adam HaRishon created was that everything that Adam HaRishon did was in order to bring the Hashpah from Shemayim down here. That was the purpose of Adam HaRishon. So he's saying he was created with the horns, the animal. In other words, to say is that the horns are the part that even stick up beyond the head. Right? The head of the person, and then after the head, there's the horns which reach up. So the shore of the Adam was created primarily with horns. In other words, it was created with the ability to reach beyond its physical limitations and be reaching up to Hashem. And then afterwards, from there, it spread to its feet. Its feet are what touches the ground. In other words, the purpose of everything in creation is to bring Hashpah from the top, from the higher levels, and bring that Hashpah down into the world. And that's, again, that was the purpose of all of creation. So just interesting, you know, mashal, interesting topic. That he says, and Memela, you know, that's the concept. He ends off Perkhof again with the idea that Torah, like we said yesterday, learning of Torah really is what restores the person's nefesh the most, even nefesh. We said Torah restores everything, but the primary form of tshuva is through Torah, because Torah restores everything. And he says that's what the pasuk means, Torah Hashem Tamima Meshivat Nefesh, that the Torah is complete, that brings back and restores the nefesh of the person. That again, the problem was that we cut off our nefesh, we cut off our ruach by doing our veiros. By learning Torah, you restore everything. That's what it literally means. I think literally means Torah Hashem Tamima Meshivat Nefesh, it makes you calm. He's saying, from the language of like Hashavat Aveda, it returns it. Torah Hashem Tamima Meshivat Nefesh, it brings back your nefesh. The parts of the nefesh that were cut off can become restored through learning of Torah, because that reconnects us back to our source, and then everything is restored from there. All right, some incredible stuff. There's a lot of we discussed a lot of things tonight.